Jason Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 of the game. CMA Wednesday. CMA Awards tonight at Bridgestone Arena. Chase McKay, Big Joe Dubin. And we'll say hello to John McClain, who joins us from Houston. John, we have a special guest in studio that I think you've talked to a time or two over the years on Sports Talk Radio in Nashville. Say hello to George Plaster.
Who? Don't know that I know him.
He's some guy we found, you know, just wandering around and wanted to do an internship
so
with us.
Hold on, George. Uh-oh.
I got to tell you, I wouldn't be doing radio in Nashville for the 27th year if it wasn't for George, who put me on the radio the first day of my first training camp up there in July of 1997 at Tennessee State. He asked me if I wanted to come on. I did. Told a few Bud Adams stories, talked about the Oilers making a transition up there. And I went on a couple of more times. And then one time I was covering a game against the Buccaneers, and he calls me, and I'll never forget, I was getting out of the car. He's John George Plaster. Hello, George. He said, I want to talk to you about maybe doing a regular show with us weekly. Well, I did. I was doing three here, and now I do 18 a week in seven cities. But back then it was like three here and maybe a couple more. And I'm like, yeah. And he goes, and we'll pay. I said, I'm in. I've been in ever since.
We rose to the head of the class.
You got him there.
Woo! Oh, wow.
George was incredible to be on, and I miss being on with him greatly. And, George, it's great to hear from you.
John, it is great to hear from you. I told them earlier about the speech you used to give during the radiothon, the Uncle Sam speech.
I still do that. Every time I'm doing a charity deal, and I do, I wish I was doing more back in Nashville. I haven't done one since Amy and Adams, and I did one for the Leukemia Society up there right before the pandemic. But, no, I did one with Jeff Fisher for Heimerdinger, too. And I always tell people, I do it here. I tell them, look, you know, if you will reach out and step up now, that money's tax deductible. You know where it's going. Going for a great cause. If you give it to the government on April 15th, you don't know where your money's going. So use your money to do some good.
So you can do that now at 615-737-1025.
Yep. Tried and true.
What we're doing, John, I've created like a celebrity bowling night where we have, in theory, 64 foursomes that end up playing in different shifts with 64 sports personalities. And the thing I've learned, you cannot screw up bowling. It's impossible.
No, that's great. Because every once in a while you find somebody really good, but most of them are really bad.
Most of us are just a bunch of rock throwers. But we're auctioning off Will Perdue. If somebody wants to play with Will, Chase, how do they do that?
They can call or text 615-737-1025, and we'll get your name and number. It's a $200 to buy a spot, and then you can bowl with Will Perdue.
And then you get John's speech.
Yes, and you'll get John's speech as well.
I'd be happy to give that speech anytime. And just remember, if you step up for Will Perdue and this event, you know that your money is going to a good cause. And I know the listeners will step up because Nashville has so many people that want to help others.
That is absolutely true. So, John, Mike Vrabel kind of shocked us yesterday. We didn't expect him to open the press conference without even taking a question and announce that Will Levis was going to be his starting quarterback moving forward. Ryan Tannehill, when healthy, will be the backup. How shocked were you to hear that?
I wasn't shocked at all. I mean, that's what he should have done. You can't keep a rookie quarterback guessing every week, although I don't think he would have been guessing. I think he would have told him, you're going to be the starter. You know, Mike's pretty shrewd when it comes how to handle things, and he's very secretive a lot. And, of course, all coaches are, but I thought it was the best thing that he could do for the franchise. And I was, you know, I know Levis had that great debut, but I watched every pass, and under a relentless pass rush with an offensive line that was getting killed and injuries and players coming in and out, the way he stood in there and threw some passes that were complete, that were incomplete. That impressed the hell out of me.
John, the other big story is the Boston Globe story about Bob Kraft, his love for Mike Vrabel, all that's going on there. How do you think this ends up? I mean, on the surface, you know, we know Kraft loves him, but, you know, Belichick's got his thing going up there. He just signed an extension, all that. What do you make of all this?
Amy Adams, Strunk loves Mike Vrabel too, and Mike Vrabel's not going anywhere. And people in Boston can talk all they want. First of all, I wouldn't want to go up there and replace Bill Belichick. But the fact is, as somebody wrote last week, it wasn't the Patriot way, it was the Brady way. And it's being exposed now. And that's a situation where you don't have a young, talented, young quarterback that you can mold like they have with Levis. You know, they got Mac Jones who's going downhill, and they may try to jockey to get one of their top quarterback prospects this year. But, you know, Vrabel, I do not see him going to New England. I don't think Amy Adams Strunk would let him go, knowing how she feels about him, how Rand Cawthorn feels about him. And I just don't see it because Mike, and even though people get frustrated, he has proved time and again he is a hell of a coach. I used to say this about Jeff Fisher. People here were saying, oh, they need to get rid of this guy. He can't do better than 500. And Mike Shanahan told me, and this was when Mike was winning Super Bowls, he said, number one, he said if Jeff was fired at lunchtime, he'd have a job by sundown. If he's fired in the morning, he would have a job by lunchtime. And Shanahan said, even though he'd have a head coaching job, first thing I'd do is reach out and see if he wanted to come to work with me. And, of course, it didn't happen for a long time. And so that's the way it would be with Vrabel. And I just – the media up there can write and print anything they want. That is a bad situation right now in New England.
Do you think Kraft honestly wants to walk into that room and say to Bill, I think we need to make a change?
I know that Belichick's on the hot seat. They've had disagreements. There's a story by one of the best reporters up there, Ben Volen from the Boston Globe, that if they lose this game in Germany, he might get fired afterward. I just can't see that. Now, I'm not close to it like Ben is, but can you imagine that Robert Kraft would pull the plug on a coach who won, what, 6 Super Bowls? I just don't see Kraft handling that like that because Kraft – off the field may have those issues in Florida, but on the field and the way he runs his team, have we ever seen any examples of him not being first class, of treating people disrespectfully? I just don't see any way that marriage is going to come apart during a season.
Going to be interesting for sure. We will have more with John McClain from Houston, who joins us for 2 segments every Wednesday at 9:30. Again, if you would like to buy a spot in George's 3rd annual George Plaster and Friends Celebrity Bowling Tournament, 615-737-1025. You can call or text. $200 puts you on the team with Will Perdue. Got a couple of spots left. We've already had an $800 donation, so keep them coming.
We've hit it big.
Yes, we have. Keep it coming, and more with John McClain next. Chasing Big Joe, 1025, 1063, the game.
They got whiskey.
Chase and Big Joe and George Plaster in studio on a CMA Wednesday, CMA Awards tonight. Continuing our conversation with John McClain, sportsradio610.com down in Houston. That's where you can find his work. And, John, I have to imagine it's been fun on Sports Talk Radio in Houston this week. 5 touchdowns and a comeback win for C.J. Stroud. That kid is something.
It was. The most amazing game that I've seen here, not just because of the circumstances. And yeah, they're playing the Buccaneers, but the Buccaneers have a good defense. They shut down the run. And the reason it was the circumstances, you have a rookie quarterback coming off his worst game, 140 yards at Carolina. They have absolutely no running game. Their linemen cannot block. And they're good at pass protecting, but not run blocking. They lost their kicker, Kyme Fairbairn, when he kicked a 50-yard field goal to end of the first half. They were down 20-10 in the third quarter, and all of a sudden, Stroud just exploded. He threw 4 of his touchdown passes, and he was he couldn't do any wrong. He reminded me so much of Deshaun Watson, getting flushed out of the pocket, having to go left, right, throw on the run. People that said going into the draft that they wondered about his mobility, and I'm thinking that was a cop-out, because if you went back and watched, he had 75 yards rushing against Northwestern. He ran in the Georgia game in which they almost won. He just always said, I got great receivers and they're open. I need to get them the ball, not run with the ball. And the same thing here. He doesn't run much. I'm writing a column today comparing him at this stage with Deshaun Watson, and same stage of his rookie year. And here, as you can imagine, it's C.J. Stroud all the time. He's shooting the first free throw for charity before the Rockets game with the Lakers here. He grew up a Lakers fan. People are asking me on my talk show this morning if I thought the fans would be mad at him being a Lakers fan. I said, that kid can do anything he wants, and Houston fans are not going to get mad at him.
John, tell me about D'Amico Ryans. I mean, from all accounts, that team loves him. They play hard for him. I mean, did you think he would have this kind of impact this early on?
Absolutely not, Joe. I did not. And they won three games last year, four the two before. Now they're 4-4, and their last two losses have been on the road with field goals with no time left. And so they're close to being 6-2. Of course, a lot of teams can say they're close to a certain record. But another reason Sunday was so remarkable, they had six players leave, and they had a fourth-string running back as a kicker and kicked a field goal, first time that had been done in the NFL by a non-kicker since 2004. And so everything was in disarray, but Ryans kept their eye on the prize, so to speak. And I thought it was over. Baker Mayfield played great, and they get the ball on their 25 with 46 seconds left. And I went to the back of the press box before the drive and saw fans just leaving in droves. And 40 seconds left, they're in the end zone. He threw a second touchdown pass to rookie Tank Dell. And it was 6 seconds left, and the fans who were there went crazy. And I'm hoping all those people left didn't have a chance to get and turn the radios on to see what they missed.
John, if Houston had the number one pick instead of number two, were they going C.J. Stroud?
Well, of course, they're never going to admit that, which they always would say, oh, no, we like Stroud all along. Maybe they did, but if they'd had the first pick, I would have had them taking Bryce Young. Now, I do know there were a lot of people that I trust, former coaches and players who are in the media, who had Stroud rated number one and him number two. But right now it's a mismatch. But you can't judge a career over this few games of a season. Peyton Manning threw 28 interceptions as a rookie, and they won, I think, three games. And he looked like, oh, man, this guy doesn't know what he's doing. And so you can't do that. He needs more talent around him. The thing that Stroud has done is he is turning receivers that we thought were mediocre at best into really good. They had three with more than 100 yards on Sunday, first time that's been done in the NFL in quite a while.
John McClain is with us, Sports Radio 610 down in Houston. And do you think that the Baltimore Ravens are maybe the team that we should be talking about a lot more right now?
Well, I got to say yes, because I picked them on all my shows to win the Super Bowl. And the only reason I did, I wanted to go with somebody different than Kansas City. Kansas City, no team has repeated as champions since the Patriots in the early 2000s. I didn't want to pick Philadelphia because no Super Bowl loser has gone back to the Super Bowl other than New England since the 90s. So, and that still could hold true. But right now, Kansas City, Baltimore, and boy, the NFC North is so tough. I don't put Jacksonville in that class. Buffalo's no longer in there. Miami's not in there. It looks like the Chiefs. It's hard to pick against Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, but Baltimore has a great defense under Mike McDonald. John Harbaugh got rid of his coordinators, and he brought two guys in. McDonald last year, he'd been on his staff, and then this year he brought in Todd Monken from Georgia. Took him a little while to get going. They lose their best running back, J.K. Dobbins, for the season. They just ran for 298 yards, I think. So they're built for bad weather. They're built for wind, rain. They can do everything, where Kansas City, which is playing great defense, is still a passing team with Patrick Mahomes.
John, you're a great writer. You love great stories. This Josh Dobbs story is simply fantastic. Give me your take on this.
I've never seen anything like it. If you think about all the places he was last year, bouncing around like a pinball, and so he goes back to Cleveland. They send him to Arizona. He plays pretty well. They had said they were going to bench him and go with Clayton Toon, a rookie from Houston, which was just another example of the Cardinals tanking. He played one of the worst games in history, and now Murray's back. And so Dobbs, to go in there when he did, not know the names, he compared it to about to take an advanced Spanish class, and then all of a sudden you're taking a test, and then all of a sudden you're taking a French test. So what he did with two touchdown passes, wins at the end, he runs for one, was one of the greatest jobs ever. And I guess now that he has a chance to prepare, it might not be the same because the team is not good, but it was an incredible accomplishment. I don't know what they could come up with at the ESPYs, but there ought to be an ESPY award for Joshua Dobbs. And a lot of people don't know he was a 4.0 aerospace engineer at UT.
I was an 0.4 at Vandy.
John, I thought it was 0.3.
Well, it was, but I graded on the curve.
Hey, how about Vanderbilt's basketball team?
John, I was there.
I couldn't believe it, were you?
Oh, yeah.
Well, ultimately, maybe that'll be good for him.
Yeah. Well, hey, I want to go back. Nice reaction. Did you like that? I want to go back on Belichick. First of all, I can't imagine Kraft walking in and saying, look, it's over. But if that happened, who's the first team that jumps at him?
Well, first of all, think about this. Belichick, I think, will be 73 next year. And he has a losing record that's getting worse without Tom Brady. And he has to have total control of everything, everything, the pencils and the pens. Is there an owner willing to give a coach who'll be 73? And knowing how he is, he runs a certain type of operation. And a lot of players, they loved the winning when they were winning, but he was so tough on them. You know, basically, Brady got tired of dealing with him and left first chance he got. So he would have to bring in a lot of players that are his players. So I'm not so sure that there would be a big market for him. I'm sure some owner would want to make a splash out there, like, say, you know, Mark Davis. Although I think Mark Davis may go after Jim Harbaugh, but sure, I'm guessing he would have offers. Don't know if he'd walk away. He plays golf. He likes to sail, and he's big on history. He's narrated some historical things on TV, and people are like, hey, isn't that Bill Belichick? Well, he loves history. And so I just don't see him playing golf 5 days a week. So they if indeed they part ways, and I think there's a good chance that it could happen, then that is going to be the story of the offseason.
Wow. It's going to be a big story of the offseason. John, appreciate you as always. Glad that you and George got to reconnect. When was the last time you two did radio together?
Radio? George had me on his show a few months ago. Yeah, okay. I was on with him and Watson Brown.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Very, very cool.
We stay in touch. I can't figure out if he's retired or not.
I'm so retired, I write 5 columns a week and do 18 talk shows, podcasts, and TV shows.
That's awesome.
Joe, does that sound like retirement?
Oh, my goodness.
Not Lord. Not quite. John.
Guys, thank you very much. As always, George, great talking to you.
Same here.
Joe, you guys have a great rest of the week.
You too. John McClain, Sports Radio 610 in Houston, joins us every Wednesday at 9:30. Real quick, George, before we let you go, we got Ryan O'Reilly coming up here in just a few minutes from the Predators. We'll continue to take this. 615-737-1025, George Plaster and Friends Bowling Tournament, November 27th.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Big Joe is going to be a part of it. The latest celeb in
that's
the
a big
fold.
One. That's a big get.
Huge get.
Got to get his love email address during the commercial. How many on Will?
Are we...
Uno. Okay.
And then we got
the 800 that came in. We'll get Dos Tres Cuatro at some point.
Yes. 615-737-1025. Absolutely. Good to see you. Thanks
for
coming in.
Very nice of you.
Yeah, no problem at all. Ryan O'Reilly, Predators 4, going to join us next. Chasing Big Joe, 1025, 1063 The Game.